Hey, I know you're probably driving or running or cleaning the house or doing something else when you're listening to this, but look, if you're a B2B marketer and you need to start generating revenue from your marketing, then you have to check out our 12-week program, the B2B Incubator. It's built for small, in-house B2B marketing teams with limited time and budget. We give you the strategy, the templates, and the tools to start driving revenue, not just leads. So if you're ready to act on all the advice Kevin and I give you, next time you take that first sip of coffee in the morning, make sure you head to the B2B Incubator and apply now. There's only 10 spots available per cohort, with our next one launching at the end of May 2024. Remember, the B2B Incubator, apply now so you don't miss out. We've had B2B marketing managers, CMOs, marketers in demand gen roles, content leads, and more all go through this program, and they're currently executing the demand strategies that they've created. Some are now even contributing as much as 80% of the pipeline to their business after working through it. Make sure you check out the b2bincubator.com and apply now to start driving more demand and more revenue for your brand. Okay, let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome to the B2B Playbook podcast. Each week we discuss strategies and tactics to help B2B businesses grow online.
We're your hosts, Kevin and George, a couple of digital marketing professionals. We've waded through the noise and made the mistakes so you don't have to.
The B2B world has changed, and you need to put your customers at the heart of your marketing.
We'll cover how you can use our framework, the 5 B's, to create a brand that customers are ready to buy from, love, and advocate for.
We'll get insights from successful people in the industry and cover the latest trends to keep you on the cutting edge of the B2B world.
If you're interested in B2B marketing strategies and tactics that work, then this podcast is for you.
Subscribe to get the latest from the B2B Playbook first.
Remember, successful B2B marketing starts with the buyer.
Welcome back to the B2B Playbook, listeners and viewers. Today we are talking about how to start and run a podcast for your company or for your personal brand. We're into season 6 of the show. We spent seasons 1 to 5 giving away our 5 B's framework for demand generation step by step. Go back and listen to these if you haven't already. Covering it off quickly, each of the 5 B's, be ready, which is all about deeply understanding your customers, then be helpful, which is about developing helpful relationships and trust with them, be seen, which is all about amplifying everything that you've done in those first 3 steps, and then narrowing your focus with account-based marketing to accelerate demand, to be better, which is all about optimizing those processes, and be the best, which is some of our advanced strategies and tactics that are normally reserved for the big guys. But today, Kevin, we are talking about how to start and run a podcast for your company or personal brand. We framed this episode around a lot of frequently asked questions that we get on this topic. So thank you to all who have asked us questions around this over time. Kevin, can you give us a little context around this episode before we jump in?
Yeah, definitely. Between the end of season 5 and season 6, where we are now, we really wanted to take this opportunity to answer some of those frequently asked questions, as George said, that come up along the way. Almost like a Q&A for us as well. So we thought this episode would be great to share some of those questions that perhaps just don't really have an opportunity for us to discuss in the general running of the framework in the podcast usually. And I think a lot of these questions are interesting and relevant to businesses who are looking to not only build their own podcast, but whatever sort of pillar piece of content you're looking to build. Do you have some of these questions answered in your head? Do you have a rough idea of where you're headed in direction? Because they're really all going to help you make those decisions along the way as you start to build those pillar pieces of content along the way. And hopefully there's a few tips in there as well from us about how to deal with certain questions and doubts that come up along the way. We've certainly faced those, and we're giving our 2 cents on what we think are the answers for those questions. So let's kick into it. The context for this podcast: George and I have been recording now for over 130 episodes, definitely over 100. Not sure how many will be released by the time we're releasing this particular episode, but that's over 100 episodes, well into the second 100 in the last 2.5 years of the B2B Playbook. We've been releasing almost one every week for that duration. We're pretty much on time every week. We've been really grateful and really proud to see that the work that we're doing on the podcast has really gone in to serve our core audience. And in doing so, it's really become the core of our demand engine for our own business as well.
That's right, Kevin. All business really is attributed to the podcast in some way, shape, or form. It's either the podcast or LinkedIn or the articles, but these are all derivatives of our episodes that we do here every week on the B2B Playbook. So really, we can attribute everything we do, everything we've gained, to the podcast itself. And today, Kevin and I want to pull back the curtain and share how you can also get started in building one of these podcasts for your company or for your personal brand. So we're going to run through some questions that we get asked pretty often. Kevin and I are going to grill each other and share as much as we can about our own process. And hopefully there's a lot of great takeaways for you for this episode. So I think probably one that we get asked very often, Kevin, is, okay, you say I should do a podcast, but what the hell should I even talk about? What am I going to talk about on the podcast itself? Kevin, as always, our answer starts with, tell us, who do you want to reach? Who do you want to speak to? And if you're doing it on behalf of a company, ask yourself, who are our best customers? Who are our dream customers? Then work out, what are their pains? What are their anxieties? What can you give them that is going to help them in their everyday jobs? What can you do that is going to make their lives easier? And then you start to get closer to that answer of what is it that we're actually going to give them. We like to frame it as giving them really helpful content. That's why it's the second B in our 5Bs framework. It's all about being helpful. What can you do? What unique information do you have or unique connections you have in the world that can provide some sort of really useful, helpful information to your dream customer that is also tangentially related to the core problem that you solve as a business? So start to think about that. And Kevin, what about for people who are doing this for their personal brand? What should they be talking about?
I think often people stop themselves from getting started because of this issue of thinking, oh, I really don't know what I should be talking about. Or even if I have the first 5, 10, 100 episodes like we planned out before we got started, what happens on episode 101? Can we keep coming out with ideas and keep coming out with relevant content that's actually going to be helpful in the long run? And I think the simple answer there is don't let that stop you. You can get started, you can get the feedback, and then you can see where to go from there. But importantly, as George said there, it's not really about you in a sense. It's about your audience, about the audience that you want to reach. So if you have access to your audience in some way, shape, or form, go talk to them. Contrary to popular belief, most people are actually very willing to have a chat with you when you reach out to them on things like LinkedIn, on social media, even in person and networking events, and just setting aside a time with your existing network even to have a conversation about what are the issues they're facing, what are the things that they wish to see or have in their arsenal to help them move forward against those pain points. And then you can just start building content towards those points in particular. So for us, we came up with a framework that we tried and tested through our work agency side, as well as in our own capacities, working with B2B marketing, working with B2B businesses and doing the marketing. And then we just decided to start sharing that framework because we found something that started to work. And we talked to our audiences as well and figured out a few channels that potentially they would be looking for content in. And then we decided on the best fit based on that feedback. And then we just simply started to match that content to the pain points that they were talking about. We put things like the 5 stages of awareness lens on top of that as well. So we made sure that we're addressing each stage of the 5 stages of awareness in the content that we're putting out there as well. But effectively, we're always going back to our dream customers, to our intended target audience for our content, and figuring out what else do they want. And case in point, this particular episode as well, it comes from the questions that we've received over time, specific questions in person, online, whatever it might be. And we decided to put this together as an episode to answer a lot of those questions that wouldn't otherwise be answered in the course of doing our podcast. But again, it still comes from our dream customers, our dream target, our intended target audience for our podcast. And that's where you can get your inspiration from. And it's exactly the same if you're building a personal brand, Think about who would listen to or read your particular content. Is it prospective employers in the future? Is it people in your network that will get value from it currently? Is it your existing client base? Whatever it might be, speak to the pain points that those potential audiences would have, or at least your knowledge of that. And if you don't have enough knowledge of what those pain points are, then that is a sign for you to go out there and have those conversations so you can understand exactly what you should be talking about.
I'll just add, Kevin, that we know so much more about our audience now than we did at episode one. And it was just by getting ourselves out there. Yes, we had our framework and we committed to putting out an episode every week. But by doing that, we then started creating this two-way conversation with our audience, which enabled us to learn so much more about them and enabled us to have conversations with them where they did reveal a lot of pains and anxieties that might not have been so obvious just from a Google search, for example. And the longer you hang out in a niche community, the more you're going to understand about it. And I suppose by committing to putting out content, it gives you a reason to start this conversation with people, gives you an excuse to have that two-way conversation. And the longer you keep at it, the more you keep refining your content based on that feedback, the closer you're going to get to really understanding your audience and then being able to help them. So I think that's really, really important. The other thing I wanted to add, Kevin, was when it comes to what should I talk about, a lot of our marketers, if they're thinking about doing this on behalf of their company, they don't necessarily have the subject matter expertise to start this podcast or video podcast or whatever it might be. For example, if you're selling a technical solution to engineers, unless you're a marketer who started an engineering degree first and then went into marketing, you probably don't know what you're talking about. So you're probably not a subject matter expert. So those marketers, we say, that's okay. Your role then is actually to be the facilitator, the host of the party. If you conduct your research from your dream customers or what questions they have, you can then find subject matter experts either internal to the business or externally and use them and interview them to answer those questions. So you become the person that organizes the podcast interviews. You become the person that does all the arranging around it. And we'll get into that. The person who does all the work post recording, and you're the facilitator. And that's actually probably a great position for you to be. That's where you really want to be moving forward as the B2B marketing manager or CMO, is you want to be the facilitator. You don't necessarily want to be in the weeds. All right, Kev, well, we touched on process there. This is something I know that you love and you've set up a wonderful process for us. And people ask us, what do we need to start? What are all the things that we need before we get started in this process? Can we give them a bit of a checklist here? All right, folks, quick breather here. In my time in B2B marketing, generally I've come to realize that there are just certain tools that can be an absolute game changer. And that's why I'm really excited to talk about LeadFeeder. It's a tool that helps you cut through the data and turn those website visitors into solid leads and opportunities for your business. LeadFeeder shows you which companies are checking out your site, tracking their behavior, and it integrates all of this with your CRM. And the result is it's basically like a secret weapon for targeted lead engagement, and it really makes it easier for your team to convert website traffic into sales. Head to leadfeeder.com, give it a free demo, and you'll also get a free extended premium trial when you let the rep know that you found out about LeadFeeder through the B2B Playbook podcast. That's leadfeeder.com. Okay, check it out. Back to the show.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, listeners, you don't have to do everything to the T here, but hopefully this gives you a guide to follow on a couple of things that you might want to keep in mind. It's certainly the way that we started, being quite careful planners and overly cautious when we get started on things. We want to be sure that we can commit to things. So a lot of these things are there to make sure that we commit to the process of whatever we signed up to do right at the beginning. So what do we start with? We had a Google Doc that had an episode plan for each season, all five seasons. And now we're into season six. We're beyond that initial plan, but we still have another plan in place. It still lives in a Google Doc. And the idea is that within that doc, you can outline the overarching theme of exactly what you're going to cover every season, even in between seasons and across multiple seasons. And that central theme for us was how this content will always be helpful to our dream customers. And that's something that we wanted to share, that framework, the 5 Bs framework, across all our different seasons, within the first 5 at least, and certainly still is the theme in season 6 now. But when we first started, that's what we covered the first 5 seasons. And then we started breaking that down in more detail, exactly what we're going to cover within each of those specific seasons. And then as we started breaking down and we reached each milestone, we started breaking each episode then down into what we were going to cover specifically. And we would do this quite a few episodes ahead. We might be even a whole season ahead at times, but overarching theme is always there. We were very clear on where we were in the framework, in that journey of the content that we're putting out. And we just documented everything in that Google Doc so that we can always refer back to it to know exactly where we are in that framework. And then next to that, we would always note who was involved. So the people that were involved in doing particular tasks for a particular episode. So it's not just the episode outlines that we had. We also had the editing, the recording sessions before that, and then who was going to post the content, who was going to then follow up with the social engagement thereafter. And we had, between George and myself, allocated each and every one of those tasks along the way so that we, again, were committed to that process. We knew exactly who was doing what so we could deliver on the promise of having that episode once a week. And then quite simply, we started blocking out regular time in the calendar to record this content. So in our case, it was a bit easier because we were the subject matter experts. But if that's not the case for you listeners, make sure to block out time with your subject matter experts as well so that they know that's coming up in their calendar. And you have that regular time blocked out, or are scheduling regular time with the subject matter experts when they're available to make sure you can get that content recorded. In terms of equipment, it was very simple at the beginning. We just used our camera and microphones on our laptops. That's completely fine to begin with. We actually went out and bought a few mics that were probably a bit too advanced for our setups. They were a little too sensitive. We had to set them up in our respective wardrobes and under a tent in George's case, just to block out the sound from the outside to make sure that sound quality was there. Definitely these days, there's enough editing software that will help you do a lot of that sound engineering so that you don't have to have a very overly complicated setup. These days, we just have a simple mic connected to our laptops, as well as the cameras that we use for phone calls and meetings, things like that. That's all you really need to get started on the tech tool, on the equipment side. And then you probably want to have an idea of how to distribute the content once you've got it ready. In our case, how do we distribute the podcast? People are not going to find a podcast by themselves without a bit of promotion, without a bit of distribution in a particular channel that they're potentially already going to find content in. In our particular case, we looked at our dream customers. We looked at our target audience for our podcast, and we realized that, hey, LinkedIn is probably a great channel for that. So we actively started building out our LinkedIn network and our presence on LinkedIn, and then we started sharing our content there for the podcast. So it's very important to also have an idea of how you're going to distribute the content to begin with. You don't necessarily have to do everything from day one. In fact, it's probably helpful just to focus on getting the content sorted at the beginning, at least for the first few episodes. So you get into the rhythm of putting out that content, then you can add on the distribution part and automating certain parts of the process. Definitely have a rough idea on how you're going to go about distributing it right from the beginning. And make sure that your subject matter expert actually has time to consider all the questions that you're going to ask in advance. In addition to blocking out that regular time with your subject matter experts, as you get closer to the date, you actually need to do a bit of prep before you have that interview or conversation with your subject matter experts. Even if it's as simple as sending through a list of questions or topics of discussion a week or two in advance, that's really going to help you set that conversation up for success. You won't be scrambling at the last minute to find out things to talk about during that conversation. And as well, it's great for your subject matter experts to have a little time to prepare some responses and to have a think about the discussion topics so that they can come prepared, because not everyone is able to spitball ideas on the spot and really talk about all their knowledge within that set time. You'll probably also want to set a lot of email reminders or calendar reminders for these different steps leading up to each piece of content creation sessions, or each of these recording sessions, whatever helps you and your subject matter expert to show up on time for the recordings in the simplest form, but also all those different steps beforehand to review the content and to come back with any feedback they might have, and basically set yourselves up to have a successful discussion when you really come down to recording that piece of content. And finally, if you're having that guest on, create a template that you can send to them before and after the recording. Information about things like what they need to bring to the particular recording session, a place where they can refer to those topics of discussion, and even some of those rules around what that process will look like after the recording is done. Do they get a final say in the content? How much feedback will they get? When will they have that opportunity to provide that feedback? All those little details, if you can send that through ahead of time, if you created the template on all those things that stays the same from subject matter expert to subject matter expert, then that will save you a lot of time and stress down the track.
All right, Kev. Now a question that we get asked pretty often is, how do you stay committed to what you're doing? We are pretty much at the 130 episode mark. I know there's some podcasts out there that are 500 plus, but there's a wild statistic around how many don't get past the five episode mark. So how do you get that longevity? And I think there's a few things here. I think, first of all, plan out a limited release. So don't try and say we're going to do a 100 episode run with this podcast. Just say, let's do 5 to 10 episodes to begin with. We're just going to do one season. It's got to be sustainable with you. Kevin and I do it weekly. That's pretty crazy. Like, unless you have the time to do it weekly and repurpose it and get all the juice out of your content, don't do it weekly. Do it fortnightly. Maybe do it monthly. Do something that actually works for you and you'll have a better chance at sticking to it. We already touched on this, but write out all the bullet points in advance of the episode and prepare as much as possible for the episode. The idea is that by the time that spot in your calendar rolls around where it's time to record, you know what you're talking about. You don't have to do any work on that day to get that thing going. You've met your deadlines. You've done your prep work. You've just got to turn up. And it's like, you know, athletes, when they train for a competition, when they're actually doing that competition, they're not thinking about how to do their freestyle and the technical aspects of it. They're just going through the motions because they've practiced it. Do the prep work so when you turn up, you can just focus on having as good a conversation as possible. Kevin and I also love to batch things. So batching tasks is where you group similar tasks together and do them in one go. It's a more efficient way of doing things. Sometimes we record multiple episodes in the one day and we try and keep a backlog. Inevitably, things come up and someone might be sick. Kevin lost his voice the other day. I might be away on holidays. Things come up and you can't record. But for us, we've really drawn that line in the sand where we said, no matter what, we want to have an episode to release every single Monday. And that was a complete non-negotiable for us. And the only way we've achieved that is by planning for things to go wrong. And so batching content helps make sure we always have something in the bank to share with you listeners. I think also, Kevin, when it comes to staying committed, I feel like defining success is really important. If you set out for your podcast to get a whole bunch of listeners, but you don't already have an existing personal brand, you have no funds to support it, you are going to be bitterly disappointed. And you're going to be pretty sad when you get 20 or 30 listeners and 10 of them are you in your first two or three episodes. So think about how you're defining success. For us, we never really cared about the number of listeners. That grew over time because we were so focused on our dream customers and we worked hard on redistributing and repurposing. But initially for us, it was like, this is going to be a pillar piece of content that we then repurpose, and it's going to be the fuel for all of our business moving forward. So it wasn't about podcast listens. It was about, are we creating that content that resonates with our customer? Do we have something we can repurpose to LinkedIn, to articles? Is it something that's facilitating a two-way conversation for us? For others, if you're doing it for your business, success might not be listen numbers, but it might be, are we getting people on the podcast that we want to do business with? Are we getting people on the podcast that are influential people in our industry that are really good connections to make? From those, are we getting any demos off the back of it? can we attribute any business to this podcast because we're using it to book meetings with people who would be difficult to talk to otherwise? And we're going to talk a little bit more about this measurement piece later on, Kevin. But yeah, I think how you define success is a really key part of staying motivated and staying committed.
I definitely think that's true. And for George and I, another big piece of measuring success is, are we actually having that impact in the B2B marketing community that we set out to make? We said from day one that we have this framework. One of the key things for us that pushed us to do this podcast, to release a lot of that framework for free in a very quick way, is that we wanted to have this framework reach as many people in need of it as possible. When they're in that stage where, like us in the early days, we wish we had that tool, we wish we had that framework or set of content that we could go back to and figure out our way forward, we could provide that for them. And for us, I think that is a very good measure of success, because when we get that organic feedback, when we get that feedback from different people who have either listened to the podcast or have then discovered the incubator, gone through that and gotten value from the incubator, whatever it might be, we're getting validation that in fact is happening. We're having that impact that we desired right from the get-go when we started the podcast. So that's another thing that you can measure as success for a particular use case. So every business, every personal brand is going to be different. So when you set out to do that podcast or pillar piece of content, whatever that might be, make sure that you're clear on your measures of success so that you can really keep committed to it, because you're seeing improvements, you're seeing those rewards that comes from that effort. It's important not to just measure yourself on typical podcast metrics like number of listeners, number of downloads and things like that, because 9 times out of 10, for the purposes of that podcast, it probably doesn't fully align with those metrics. It might just be one of the metrics of success at least. Well, we might as well jump into that topic of talking about how do we build those relationships with people that we bring onto the podcast, and whether that then turns into leads that George was just talking about then. Are we actually having an impact on the bottom line for business if in fact you are doing that podcast for a business? And I think in this particular case, it fits into another question that we get quite often, which is how do you get buy-in from the business to do something like a podcast? And I think for us, a very easy way to sell it in is it's actually an alternative or an amplifier for an ABM player that a business might already be running. It's easy to pitch it as a way of building those relationships with those key accounts that you want to have a longer conversation with, that have expressed some sort of intent, or at least are within your ABM strike list of the key accounts that you want to talk to, but you're having difficulty moving the needle with those accounts with the traditional advertising channels or traditional ABM channels that you might be employing already. If you have a podcast, if you're able to get them onto a podcast, chances are the defenses are going to drop a little bit more, and you're at the very least going to have that 30 minutes, half an hour conversation with that key person in those key accounts about all the different things that are important to your business and to their business and where that alignment can be. By nature, that podcast setting gives you the avenue to talk about a lot of the things that you want to talk about with your key accounts within a setting where everyone's defenses are not as high as usual, and you're just having a conversation about where is that synergy, where is the crossover, and where can we share a bit of knowledge to the listeners as well. So a very easy way to get buy-in from a business to do something like a podcast and invest a bit of resource into doing something like that is actually, it's one of the most cost-effective and likely to succeed ways to get your ABM program firing on another level.
That's right. It's super cheap to do it. It just ask to do it for 5 or 6 episodes. Tell your boss that the primary reason we're doing this is to try and connect with these accounts that sales have been trying to get in touch with, that are clearly showing some kind of intent of buying for us, that would be a great fit, but we just can't get a hold of them. Invite them on the podcast, try and deepen that relationship. Measure not by the number of listens that episode got, but measure by the number of key accounts you've engaged, by the number of meetings that you booked, the number of podcasts you hosted, the number of demos that came off the back of that, the number of accounts that you won. Don't try and measure by the number of listeners when the goal is to try and sell it into your boss as this is a way for marketing to really try and deepen relationships with potentially engaged accounts that could become customers. An awesome way that you can also execute this, Kevin, and shout out to Wendy, one of our dear listeners who has done this and she's told me all about it, is she actually sets up a podcasting booth at the live events that she attends. She does the work beforehand to get the key members of those key accounts, invites them to come into their podcasting booth, creates a bit of a scene at those live events. It's a great way to make sure that you're deepening that relationship with people that you want to talk to. You're using it in a very purposeful way. And she's told us that has been amazing for them and their business. So maybe that's something worth giving a go as well. But yes, when it comes to getting buy-in from the business to do it, make it look as low lift, as cheap as possible with potentially very strong positive outcomes.
That's a great example, George. A very cool idea, I think, in the age where everyone loves watching podcasts and watching those conversations on something like YouTube. People would love watching these things live, being in the atmosphere of a recording session at a live event just makes it so much cooler, so much more interesting than just your typical fireside chat in some of these live events. So one that Wendy has really knocked out of the park with, and hopefully some of our listeners will be able to apply that for themselves as well. The next question, to dive a little bit more into the weeds, and one that we tend to stay away from because we feel like it's not that important, is what technology do you use? And for those aspiring podcasters, people who are potentially looking at podcasting as a potential avenue for doing things like ABM or just having a crack at another growth channel, we're going to run through some of the key pieces of equipment and software that we use, but just keep in mind that it's really not that important. We started with very minimal things like a couple of mics, even sometimes just our laptops and GarageBand on your Apple laptops. And that's all we had to start with at different times. So don't worry about getting too much tech. But while we're on the topic of tech, let's run through what we do. So we record these sessions on Riverside FM, and then we use a set of mics each. So I just have a simple, tiny Shure microphone that plugs in straight into the laptop. And these are just really cheap mics. And obviously the cameras, you'll probably notice from the quality, they're not amazing cameras at all. George uses his iPhone with the app Camo and uses it as a recording device. I use my webcam that I usually use for meetings, for these recording sessions, for the YouTube version of a podcast. And then we dump all that into Riverside as well. And that allows us to use those as feeds or visuals. And then we take all that into Descript for post-production. So editing the sound, the video, the overlays, what have you. Descript actually has a great AI sound editing tool, which can be applied to basically make the sound a lot better. So gone are the days when you have to do a lot of that sound engineering that we used to fiddle around with in the early days. And the basis of the editing tool in Descript is great because it allows you to edit based on the transcript. So you can delete words based on a written transcript and it'll delete that part, the matching part of the audio based on that. So a great tool to have is Descript. And then from there, we take that transcript, we take what's left from the editing, and we check it into ChatGPT or whatever AI software prompting tool that you use. And we can turn that then into LinkedIn posts, articles, newsletters, and things like that, just doing that content repurposing piece. And keep in mind, even before ChatGPT was a thing, we were doing that manually ourselves. We noted down the main key takeaways from every episode as listeners at the end of the episode, and we take those and we start with those as the key points to start that repurposing process. But now ChatGPT makes it a little bit easier for us to do that process of repurposing. And then finally, the last piece of equipment that we use is the headphones. Any old pair of earphones will really do, or headphones will really do. We just happen to use our noise canceling ones that we use for travel and things like that. If you can afford it and you can get away with it down the track, you can invest in something like this, or even better, ones that are backless so that it's a bit more breathable in recording sessions when you go for a long time. But certainly at the beginning, you don't have to have very fancy equipment. Just use whatever earphones or headphones that you have. That's probably good enough to get started.
All right, Kev, people also ask, how do you pick what guests you should have on? Would you have some thoughts around that? We actually aren't really a guest-driven podcast, and I would encourage everyone to not be a completely guest-driven podcast unless you're very deliberate about who it is that you're choosing, because I do think that in order for your podcast to be sticky, in order for it to drive business or drive your overarching purpose, there needs to be an overall narrative. There needs to be an overall theme that you're working towards. And unless you're very picky about your guests, it's hard to stick to that narrative. It's also hard for that knowledge to be completely associated with you. If all that expertise is being brought on by the guests, that's fantastic for the listeners, but that isn't necessarily being transferred to you unless you're also actively able to engage with those guests in a good conversation in a way that shows that you also have expertise in what it is they're talking about. But when it does come to guests, the way that we think about it is actually a lot like when we had Marioli Arias, the social media marketing manager at Apollo. She came over and she spoke about the three circles that you should influence with your social media. And those three circles, your internal subject matter experts or your internal advocates, the people who influence your dream customers and your dream customers themselves. And that's the exact same three circles that we think you should involve as guests when finding guests for your podcast. So internally, if you're looking internal to the business, what subject matter expertise do you have that you could bring on that could show off, hey, our company understands you guys. We understand what's going on in the industry and we have the solutions. In terms of influencers of your dream customers, who is it that your dream customers look to for information? What are the sources of information that they trust? Who are they following? What newsletters are they following? What other podcasts are they following? Go and look to have those people on your podcast. And then finally, your dream customers themselves, whether that's part of an account-based marketing play, it could be having a customer success story come on. It could even be having one of them come and talk about something that makes them look good just to deepen that relationship. But they're your three circles that you should really be looking to when it comes to picking your guests.
George, not too much to add there. I think listeners, if you can have some sort of overlap, even if you can have overlap of all three circles, that's the best content that you can find. If you can find someone who's an internal subject matter expert who can then talk to pain points from your dream customers. Maybe they're also an influencer of your dream customers in their own right, or potentially you can have someone on who is an influencer to have a three-way conversation with and to provide different narratives or different perspectives on the same issue that is a particular pain point for your dream customers. That's a potential overlap of all three circles that will really make sure that your content is likely to perform. And for that very reason of looking at what content is actually going to be helpful and relevant, that's the reason why as we've grown, as we started to really scale, we've gotten these inbound guest proposals and a lot of them just miss the mark because a lot of the times they're selling their own circles, that they're looking at things from their own perspective and what's that particular guest's circles. Often there's not an exact match or even a close match to our three circles and what our particular audience would be interested in. And so 9 times out of 10, in fact, most of the time, I'm struggling to find even one example of where an inbound pitch has actually come across and has gotten a guest on our show because we just didn't see that value alignment to our dream customers. One for both our listeners and for potential people working in that space of pitching to podcasts or trying to get on a podcast show in particular, make sure that the topics that you're proposing, you've done your research, you've made sure that there's an overlap in the audiences and the influences of respective audiences, and there's actual demand for subject matter expertise within that particular podcast with their audience. Because let's face it, if there isn't that overlap, then that's probably not the right podcast for you to be on in any case. Their audience is not really going to be perfect for you. There's not going to be enough of an overlap for that to be worthwhile, even your time, let alone the podcaster's time. So definitely, I think, listeners, if you're guest-driven to any extent, make sure you're considering those three circles that we just discussed and thinking about, is that content really going to be helpful if we had that particular guest on? And as George said, we really would recommend that you have that narrative across your podcast, that central theme that you keep coming back to, that is the focus of your podcast. It's a lot easier to drive a consistent message home with that overarching theme in place. And the best way to keep that in place across the podcast and across the content is actually not to be solely guest driven, to have those conversations internally sometimes, in our case, between George and myself, where we talk about key concepts and frameworks within that demand generation idea within B2B marketing concepts ourselves, so we can keep that overarching theme going.
In terms of measurement and how to measure whether or not you should stick at your podcast if you've committed to those 5 or 10 episodes that you said you would, we've already discussed this. It really comes back to, well, for what purpose are you even doing this? Are you doing it as your pillar piece of content that's then going to just fuel everything beyond that? Are you doing it to connect with people in the industry? Are you doing it for your own personal education to try and learn more about a particular subject? Set metrics based on those goals and work from there. We've already covered that, Kevin. I don't think we need to go into that again. In terms of how do you then start adapting the audio format for video too, we started recording video with our audio pretty early on. We definitely weren't comfortable doing video from the beginning. God, we looked terrible on video. We froze up. It was not a great experience for us. But I think we just started preparing a lot more once we had video as well. We were very used to talking because we just did audio only to begin with. And then to try and make things a little more visually interesting, when it came to video, we started adding visual elements that I guess would make it worth watching versus listening. So if you tune into a lot of our YouTube episodes, now they often have me on my whiteboard illustrating concepts that we are talking to give you a deeper understanding of the topic that we're talking about. There's actually a reason that you're watching it versus just listening to it. So just preparing for that visual element as well in advance of the episode recording makes it much better to watch as well as just listen. In terms of YouTube as well, and easily repurposing our content for that channel too, we created templates in that tool, Descript, which made it really easy to overlay 6 or 7 preset scenes, which might be either just me talking to the camera, Kevin talking to the camera. It's got our names, it's got our little lower third over the top of it. Another scene, which is Kevin and I both in frame. Another one, which is just words and not Kevin and I. An intro, an outro. And these are just things we can drag and drop on top of the text in Descript. It makes it super easy for us to pull together an episode. I think that's probably about it for now, Kevin. I assume that once this episode goes live, we're probably going to have a whole lot more questions come in off the back of that. And so maybe we can do a live in future, or maybe an article or something to address those. But I think that's pretty good for now. And we normally do 3 key takeaways from every episode that we do. I don't think we need that for today, Kevin. I think just the important message I want to leave our listeners with is, don't sweat the small stuff when it comes to starting a podcast, starting a YouTube channel. No one is paying anywhere near as much attention to you as you are. So if there are little minor edit things that are a bit off, if you say the word for instead of in the middle of a sentence, people are incredibly forgiving. At least I hope they are, Kevin. We haven't been losing our listeners. People are very, very forgiving. And the most important thing is to just get started, get the reps in, and you'll improve over time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, George. Get those reps in and get started. And the feedback that you get from that process will help you improve your content right away. So a lot of those questions are actually asked themselves as you get started. So that, again, as George said, was don't sweat the small stuff, just get started. Listeners, thanks again for tuning in this week. As always, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes. We're, of course, very grateful that each and one of you are turning up each and every week, and more of you are turning up each and every week to the show, whether that's on YouTube now or still on the podcast. We're continuing to put all those different channels and different forms out for you. If we can ask one thing, it would be to please pass the show on to someone who you think would get value from the show. That's very important to us and our listeners. And also make sure to check us out on YouTube. As George said earlier, he's putting a lot more effort in these days with the whiteboards and the visuals and you can get the full value from those things on YouTube. It's all an amazing help to us, and we'd really, really appreciate it. Thank you, George. Thank you, listeners and viewers. Catch you all next week.
Thank you, Kev. Thank you, listeners and viewers. Take care. Catch you next week.
A quick note before you go, listeners. You can find more great content and get in touch with us at theb2bplaybook.com.
Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and our newsletter while you're there to get the latest news, tips, and resources from our playbook.
We'll be back the same day and same time with another episode next week.
Thanks for tuning in to the B2B Playbook. Remember, successful B2B marketing starts with the buyer.